God bless you. Here, let's, we got some papers to pass out here. Who wants to help? There we go. You want to just pass them back so everybody has one? Well, I'm really excited to share the word today. As you can see, it's about thankfulness. but specifically, it's going to be about being thankful for God's grace. And we're going to talk a little bit about grace today, and this paper that I'm passing out, we'll talk about in a little while. But it's kind of a homework. It's a 30-day challenge for you to do from today on, and it's for your blessing. It's not, you know, like you're not going to be graded on it or anything like that. but I was thinking about this whole time of the year, and a lot of times we talk about what we should be thankful for. And I could stand up here and I could tell you, you should be thankful for this and for that. And you go, yeah, I should. And then we walk out the door and forget about it. So I wanted to have something that we could work on through the whole month that would continually remind us of something specific to be thankful for. So that's a little bit about the paper, and we'll talk about it more in a little while. So if you want to open your Bibles, you can turn to Colossians 3 and verse 15. It's the verse that's up on the screen. We're going to read, but we're going to start in verse 15. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be, what? Thankful." I'm reading out of the ESV. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." That song about Amazing Grace sure is a spiritual song, isn't it? I mean, it's just one of those songs that touches your heart. You know, no matter how many times in our lives we've sung that, it's pretty astounding. So verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So whatever we do in word or deed, we're supposed to be thankful, right? And we give thanks to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's by way of him that we have amazing things that God has given to us by his grace. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the Hebrew word for praise and thanks. It's spelled Y-A-D-A-H, yada. And it can be translated praise or give thanks, but it can also be translated confess. And the action that's behind this Hebrew word is to stretch out your hand. And when we stretch out our hand, it's like the words are coming out of our mouth following our hand to confess something about God and what he's done or who he is, his character. So I want you to practice for a minute. Just stretch out your hand. Okay. Now, that was pretty measly. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Okay. So when I'm going to read Psalm 100. And I want you to practice stretching out your hand when you get to the place where you see that there's something to praise or thank God about. Okay. Psalm 100, this is our favorite psalm, right? "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." Put both hands up. "And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. And his steadfast love endures forever. and his faithfulness to all generations. His faithfulness there is, in King James, it's translated truth, right? But it really means his faithfulness. And that's why I wanted to sing the song about great is thy faithfulness. Because that's one of the very key things that we can praise God for all the time. But isn't that fun? So this is part of the idea today of whenever we're talking about thankfulness, we're going to be stretching out our hands, okay? Now, to talk about why we are thankful for God's grace, the common definition for grace is what? Unmerited favor, right? Which, that definition is true, but really it only tells us that grace is free and it's undeserved, right? There's some other definitions of grace that I want to talk about a little bit today. And one of them comes from a book by Dr. James Richards that's called Grace, the Power to Change. I think some of you have read that book, maybe not for a while, but we were talking about it quite a number of years ago, about how grace is the power to change. And this is his definition. Grace is God's ability working in man, making him able to do what he cannot do in his own ability. So it's God's ability working in man. And when you go through a lot of the verses in the New Testament about grace, and you substitute God's ability in it instead of undeserved favor, by grace you are saved. By God's ability through Christ, we were saved. And his ability is given to us in the gift of Holy Spirit. Like, we received the full measure of the Spirit that was on Jesus Christ. Woohoo! I mean, it's when you talk about grace, it's so much bigger than just sort of a mercy idea. Like we didn't deserve it. And we didn't, obviously, deserve it. But when we talk about how we can live by grace, we have the word of his grace. There's all kinds of verses, which we don't have time to look at so much today. Maybe next week I'll be sharing on the conference call. We'll look at some other verses on grace, because I think this is a really timely topic that we should be thinking about and really focusing on. Now, the Aramaic word for grace also adds a whole other layer of depth of understanding, because the root word for grace in Aramaic is to be good. That's why I wanted to play the song about good God Almighty. You know, is he good? He's good! And one of the themes throughout the entire Word of God is that God is good, and everything he does is good. So we see, actually, that even though we're living in the age of grace now, like where grace is focused on this gift that we have received by grace, grace is something that has been around from the very beginning. If you think about Genesis 1, when God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he changed the darkness to be light, and then he said, it was good. God manifested his goodness even from the very beginning in creation to give things that would be a blessing to mankind. So if you want to look at Exodus 33, this is where it ties God's goodness in together with his grace. And it's talking about when Moses was on the mountain and he was going to get the Ten Commandments given to him during that time. And in verse 18 of chapter 33, it says, Moses says, please show me your glory. And he, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the one who is and will always be. And then he goes on, he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. So what God did for Moses was he turned him away, but he had his glory pass before him. And he says that was his goodness, and that he was pouring out grace to Moses at that point. Because he didn't have to do that, right? But Moses had said, I want to know you. I want to be with you. I want to see your glory. And so God said, okay, I'll show you who I am. I am good. Another verse that's really cool is, there's lots of verses in the Psalms, but Psalm 107 and verse 1. This is actually a phrase which is used multiple times through the Psalms. It's, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Hey, hey, hey. Give thanks to the Lord. Okay, raising your hands. All right. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sometimes steadfast love is translated loving kindness. Sometimes it's loyal love. There's a lot of different ways it's translated. But that's how the ESV does it. It calls it his steadfast love. So we are giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and it's because his steadfast love endures forever. And he has shown that to mankind from the day one of creation on. So we do have just so much to praise him for. And I want to read Psalm 145, because in here, it's just one I picked out. But in here, it uses the word grace as goodness, and it also speaks about a lot of different things that God is. So when I'm reading a part that you think should be a praise, then stretch out your hand, okay? verse 1. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Isn't that cool? We get to teach our children about God's wonderful works, his grace, his love, his goodness, his mercy, and then as we get older, we get to actually teach it to another generation, and they teach it to their generation. And it passes on this whole idea of praising God for his goodness. And that's what, we're in verse 5. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. I'll speak about that for a minute and we'll come back to it. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness. There's that phrase, see? Your abundant goodness or grace, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all. To how many? All, right. And his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power. I'd like to tell of his power. To make known to the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. And then this phrase is not in the King James, but it ends this psalm with, The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord is faithful in all his words. He is faithful to his word, right? And kind or good in all his works. Isn't that an awesome psalm? So if you go back up to verse 5, it says, I will meditate on all your wondrous works. So I was thinking a number of years ago, we did a whole series about how to meditate on the word. And we had some challenges then of how to do it. And the Hebrew word for to meditate is spelled H-A-G-A-H, haga. And you kind of have to do this kind of growl thing going on in your throat, haga, like that. Because the picture, or the kind of like the action surrounding it, is like a lion would growl over its prey, like, this is mine, you can't have it. And, right, he's not going to let anybody touch the lion's prey. So haga basically means to meditate, but it means to like really ponder, think about it, think of every word, go over it in your mind and in your heart. And, you know, of course, the best verse, or one of the best verses about meditating is Psalm 1. You know, you meditate on the word day and night because you delight in the word. And so the idea that I thought was, like I said at the beginning, you can tell somebody to be thankful for X, Y, and Z, right? But if we make it our own and meditate on it to actually think, what should I be thankful for? What part of this really hits my heart? What part is important for me to think about and ponder right now and kind of do that? This is mine. God has given this to me. You know, you make it personal. And that's what David was doing in this psalm, was he was making everything that God had been, which is general, right? But he was making it personal. The Lord is good to all. But he's basically saying, the Lord is good to me. When we meditate on it, then we make it so that it belongs to us. See? So if you want to look at your paper there that I made up here, I went on the internet to look for to see if there was something like this. And I really couldn't find it. I found lots of verses of, you know, what you should be thankful for, like your kids and your country and, you know, your job and things you should be thankful for. But that I thought that the things that I want to really concentrate on being thankful for in these coming days is the things that God has given to me in Christ. And so the very first one there, see, is salvation or eternal life. And I'm sure you can think of plenty of other verses that you could put down too. So these are not like, there's no etched in stone thing about it or anything. They're just ones that I picked to meditate on. But the notes column there then is what you can write on, what your thoughts are, what hits your heart about that verse. So if we read it, Ephesians 2, then as I'm reading it, you think about what part of these two verses really hits your heart. Okay, Ephesians 2, 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So what really hit me was that God is rich in mercy, that there is an aspect of grace that has to do with mercy, too, where we were dead in our trespasses. And in spite of being dead, God sent his son to die for us, to pay the price for that, so that we could have eternal life. And, I mean, you can meditate on that for a whole day, at least, off and on. So that's my encouragement, is to take these things, and it doesn't have to be that, you know. It could be the part about how you're saved, you're delivered. What does that mean to you? There is no formula to this, but the idea is to make it your own, to make it be a time to meditate on God's wondrous works for you. And so then just look at the second one, see? The gift of Holy Spirit, that's a huge topic too, but so if you want to look at 2 Corinthians 9, 15. The other thing you can do, like we talked about when we were talking about meditating, is to read lots of different translations of the same verse. You know, we are familiar with King James, but to read other ones often like makes you go, oh, wow, that's really cool. And so, 2 Corinthians. There we go. 2 Corinthians 9:15. It's in this whole section on giving when it gets all done. And in the ESV, it says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Some other translations have indescribable. Remember that Chris Tomlin song about indescribable, right? But I found one in the the NLT version of that verse is, it's thanks be to God for his gift that's too wonderful for words. You know, that's why this action of stretching out your hand, sometimes it does something that you don't even have the words to describe what the gift of Holy Spirit is. It's too wonderful for words. I think that's amazing. And then, you know, you can look at Ephesians 2:8 and go on. But the other idea about this chart is that if you actually do the 30 days and you get all the way to the back, right, that'll put it right around the 22nd of December, which is right before Christmas, right? So if you want to extend it through the end of the year, just take another piece of paper and write these four columns and find your own verses or your own topics to do it all the way through the end of the year. And I think what this will do, and because I have done this a number of times throughout my life where I did sort of a challenge like this, and it really focuses our attention on specific things. So in the morning, you know, when you wake up, you're not going, oh, well, what should I read here? Let's see, let's pick a psalm. But it really focuses it. This is what I want to be thinking about today and throughout the day. And then you mull on it. You know, you ponder it, go over it, and think about it some more, and look at it from another angle, and think about it from a different way. And it'll be amazing to us, I think, to see God's grace and his goodness unfold, you know, in this systematic way. So I wanted to end today with reading Romans 5 in verse 17. Because this is one of the places where you can substitute both the definitions of that it's God's ability and also his goodness. And I'll read it from the Aramaic translation. It says, for if because of the error of one, death reigned, that was Adam, right? Much more, how much? Much more, right? those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift and of righteousness will reign in life by way of one Jesus Christ. So substitute there. Those who receive the abundance of God's ability in Christ in us, right? Or God's goodness. Those who receive the abundance of God's goodness and of the gift and of righteousness will reign in life through Christ Jesus. Isn't that a fantastic promise? That's just one verse about grace. One. Timothy talks about being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So you can see now that grace is not something that is brand new to our administration. God is good. He's always good. He's always been good. He always pours out his goodness on all of mankind throughout all the generations from Adam on down. He has poured out his grace and goodness to people, but particularly in our administration because of what he has made available in Christ. He's poured out this fantastic gift and gave it, it's given freely to us of his ability and his goodness. So that's what I wanted to share today. God bless you guys. Hey.
You want to close in prayer?